848, 12 to the west of 9 o'clock. If you had to explain what it was the governor was doing, you could probably sum it up in four words.
And I'll be taking care of business.
Yeah.
Is that about right, Governor?
Is that Bachman-Turner Overdrive?
It's
right on.
Is.
Yes, it is.
It certainly is.
Little BTO.
Little BTO.
Taking care of business. That's what you're doing.
Well, yeah. I mean, we got a great team up here. No decision's easy. Someone said to me this morning, they said, boy, you know, it must be so hard. You have to please these guys over here and please those guys over there. And I said, no, just the opposite. If you worry about who you're pleasing, then you've got your priorities wrong. You just got to do what's right by the public health, right by, you know, the state, right by business, right by the virus issue. You just got to do what's right. Don't worry about who's going to complain and who's going to be upset. Someone's always going to be upset. Mm-hmm. And that's the damnable misery of the situation we're in, and that's why we're just kind of putting our heads down and getting it done. And we got a great team up here. I mean, I take a lot of credit and a lot of blame. I understand that's part of the job, but I do have an awesome team behind me, and the state should be very proud. A lot of names I say it all the time, names you'll never even hear or know. Some you do, the Ben Chans that are, you know, helping us, the epidemiologists at Public Health, and Commissioner Chivinet, Perry Plummer, who's running our emergency operations center right now, and Commissioner Quinn at safety, and awesome team. But there's also a lot of people behind them, right? I talk about Dr. Bean. She runs our public health lab. You'll probably never know her. You'll never see her walking on the street, but what she's been able to do to help coordinate our testing capacity here has been awesome. And just, I mean, the list goes on and on. So can't thank all them enough.
So yeah. do you sit there when you're by yourself, when you're not surrounded by the team, you sit there and we get press releases from people saying, hey, do you want to talk to public health experts saying what criteria should be considered before opening New Hampshire's economy? So you've got the left saying you're opening too soon. You've got people on the other side protesting in front of the State House going, big government, don't tell us what to do. We're grown-ups. We can do it. Do you sit there and look at these people going, seriously? Would you play from the same page?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I get it. A lot of people have time on their hands.
Right? Yeah, right. You're right. That's true too.
I get it. We got nothing to do. Let's walk up to the State House, I guess. I mean, I don't want to be crass. I've always said I understand the thought. Nobody wants to open the economy more than I do. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to do that more than I do, and nobody wants things back to normal more than I do. Believe me, you don't want to be in my shoes for 2 seconds in this thing. You don't, and it's fine. We'll handle it. I got big shoulders, but. We want to get things going, but we have to be smart about how we do it. And we have to look at data. We have to look at the realities. I mean, just this weekend, 80% of the cars coming up through into Seabrook were all from Massachusetts, from the North Shore, where the highest rate of the COVID epidemic is going out of control. Why would we want to entice that up in here? So we got to be very careful about what we do, and we have to look at public health. We have to use CDC guidance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love in these protesters, I saw all these people with the Trump stuff, and that's great. Yeah, I support the president, but the president's own plan says you need 14 days of a positive trending results before you take the next step. Mm-hmm. The president's own plan doesn't say to open everything up. He was actually quite critical of the governor of Georgia who was opening up too quickly. So, you know, it's like, you know, I try not to be overly critical, but at the same time, I'm not going to give it any credence, you know, either. I'm just not going to look at that. I just got to do what's right by the state, and I can take the hits and the political blows. That's fine. I'm a big boy.
Yeah. Well, you've seen the new models out that say, 134,000 going to be dead by August. Do you have to factor that into consideration when you're opening things?
A little bit, but not really, and I'll tell you why. Because data, I've always said this, data trumps the model, right? The data we have today is more important than these theoretical models you see all over the country. And there's lots of different models out there. Mm-hmm. Which one's right? Which one's wrong? Who knows? None of them are technically right. You just, they help. What I do is I take that model and I don't just look at a graph. I say, okay, what were the variables they looked at? Oh, that model is really geared towards high density areas like Boston is going to be more accurate for a place like that. Mm-hmm. This model is more geared toward demographics that we would see in New Hampshire, because it's hard to have one model for the entire country when the densities, population densities, demographics, all these other variables come into play. So that's a long way of saying is I give it a little bit of credence, but not really. I really give credence to our data, our trends, what we're seeing on the ground, our hospital capacity, what doctors are telling us, what businesses are telling us, the interaction, the customer interactions that can and cannot happen. Can you open a business safely and minimize the, you know, allow for physical distancing, minimize the viral spread, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What's happening in meat plants all across this country, right?
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of meat plants here in New Hampshire, but what's happening there can be very symptomatic of what could happen here with employees or large factories or manufacturers if we're not careful.
Right.
So you can't tell me that this isn't a big deal, and meat packing plants across the country are shutting down. Prices are going through the roof because, and yet people tell me, well, this is no big deal. Look, they're using physical distancing and they're still in a crisis situation. We don't want to just, you know, ignore those facts, that data, and allow things just to open up too quickly, which is why everything we do is going to have the backing of public health. And I really believe we've made the right steps. We've walked that line, if you will, just right for exactly where New Hampshire needs to be to get things a little bit flexed open, still being cognizant of Massachusetts, the fact that everyone wants to come up here, and being cognizant that, you know, if these outbreaks were to happen in factories or long-term care facilities, they are very, very serious. They can cripple your economy. Not the government shutting the business down, but the virus can cripple your economic opportunity for the long run. And so we have to play for the long game, not what's convenient today, but for the long game.
Absolutely. Now, we got a call from one of our listeners earlier this morning who does supply work for hair salons in northern New England and New York, saying that maybe a lot of the hair salons aren't going to necessarily open up when they're able to open up on Monday. A lot are, but a lot are not. Are you getting any pushback at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. So, look, we brought in the most hours that have been spent with the Open Up Task Force have been with the barbers and cosmetologists and the salon owners. I mean, and they were all very public meetings. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people were calling into those and hearing the testimony. They have an association that said, look, we'd like to open up, but here's how we'd like to do it. We had a petition of thousands of people saying, open up salons. We also had a petition of thousands of them saying, don't open us. So what we did is to say, look, We took their guidance. We had to cut it back a little. They wanted some additional procedures, if you will, to be done in their salons. And we said, well, we're not ready to do that. We're just going to do cuts and basic coloring.
Yep.
We're not mandating that anybody opens. We're allowing them to open. We'll help supply PPE if they want. And we're going to move forward. But it was their recommendation saying, please, we'd like to open up. And we said, okay, you don't have to, but if you'd like to, here's the guidance. Public health has bought off on it. Let's move forward. If you don't want to open, don't open. I mean, by all means. I mean, you know, we're don't want to force anybody into a situation they're not comfortable with, but a lot of them do want to open. A lot of barbershops want to open, and it's just for cuts and basic coloring, and we think that that's a good first step, and if we can take more steps down the road, we're going to definitely look to do that. This task force is going to continually meet, but they're really having a battle amongst themselves,
right.
And that's a bit unfortunate because I think it confuses the situation for their own members.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw something in a newspaper saying, "Well, we told the task force we didn't want to open up." Well, there were some petitions that said don't open this up, but there were also thousands that said open us. So, you know, everyone has their own personal point of view on it. We're allowing it to move forward with flexibility. If you want to, you can. If you don't, you don't. No big deal.
Absolutely, and then open in the time that's good for you.
We've got a couple minutes left, Governor. Are you or your team looking ahead into the summer saying, okay, we've lost a ton of revenue so far. How are we going to continue keeping New Hampshire on a paying basis?
Yeah, you mean, are you talking about state revenue or business revenue?
Yes, state revenue.
Yeah. Oh, state revenue is going to be hurt. There's no doubt about it because we're such a travel and tourism state. The businesses, you know, we rely on business taxes. Those are the few taxes that we do have in the state. And businesses in the summer are going to be really hurt. And so we're planning for that. So, no, we're already in the process of kind of moving some cash around, postponing a few projects. There could be more stimulus that comes in from the federal government. We're really not quite sure. I was more confident of that 3 weeks ago than I am today, but we're still going to keep working. I think something's going to come. So the federal government may be able to help us a little bit, but we're going to have to, you know, tighten our belts. Every city and town is going to have to tighten their belts. I did a lot for the cities and towns yesterday in that we're picking up all their COVID costs. Every city and town is going to get a check. I put forth $40 million of our CARES Act money right to cities and towns, and then another $25 million on top of that for first responders, giving them that extra stipend because we're seeing a lot of first responders. Remember, they police, fire, they just rush in, right?
Oh, I know.
They rush in. They don't know who they're coming in contact with. Mm-hmm. They're saving lives, and we're seeing kind of a higher rate of incident with them with the COVID crisis, and so we wanted to address them. We can address other populations as well, potentially. We already did it for nurses in long-term care, Medicaid-based long-term care facilities, so we're going to keep doing things like that, but the state's going to have a hit on revenue. There's no doubt about it. It could be pretty severe, and we're already planning for that and coming up with some ideas about how best to manage through it. We'll manage through. One thing I pride myself on, I'm not the best at everything, but I think we're pretty good financial managers here. We know how to get things done, and we know how to make tough decisions.
All right. Well,
wow, and you're sounding incredibly transparent.
Imagine that.
Look, when you're on the radio three or four times a day, when you're doing press conferences almost every day on MUR, whatever it is, I was on really quick. I rarely go through social media, but I was last night, mm-hmm. and one of the representatives was doing a Facebook Live, and I didn't really mean to, but I just kind of clicked on it, and just to see what it was about, and I didn't realize when you do that, everyone can see that you're now on. I didn't know that. And so he goes, oh look, the governor's joining us, and I'm like, wait, what?
Governor, always a pleasure. We've got to run. We've got news. Let's chat next week.
All right. Thank you, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Stay well.
That's awesome.
Wow. There you go. Wow. Straight up 9 o'clock. Can we go have coffee now?
Yeah.
Let's heat it up. Work.